The Rufus Project would like to warn the following podcast contains spoilers for the 2002 movie Swept Away. If you do not wish to have this movie spoiled, go and watch it, then come back to listen to this podcast. Okay, anyone worried about spoilers gone? Good. We've also got to let you know that there is a discussion about a scene in the movie that contains sexual abuse and violence. Be prepared to be swept away with us as Christian and I try to redeem the 2002 Madonna feature, Swept Away. Can we redeem it? We're going to have to wait till after the theme.
Good to be bad, so bad it's good. What's this movie? Do you think we should? It's got bad, I love dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Boy.
In 2002, writing the success of her 2000 album Music, and prior to the controversy she stirred up with American Life in 2003, pop star Madonna teamed up with her director husband, Guy Ritchie, to create the disaster piece Swept Away. I have seen footage where Guy Ritchie has walked away from the opening night of this going, this is a terrible, terrible movie. Even the director is saying that, whilst his wife on his arm is saying, don't say that. So this pairing was possibly one of the biggest flops of all time, and possibly the one that almost killed Guy Ritchie's career for a few years, and was the one that made Madonna vow never to act in a movie again. I've got Trevor Holland here with us, our fellow podcaster, who I made endure the disaster bomb Swept Away. So how are you going, Trevor? I'm glad to hear you're still here with us after witnessing this catastrophe.
Yep, I survived it, Christian. I may have felt cast adrift and a bit shipwrecked whilst watching it, but I got through it and managed to experience this movie experience.
Well, the scary thing is it was actually the third time I'd seen the movie, so I think that's actually quite a scary statement in itself. But I still need to watch it for the podcast, and I still found myself going, oh gosh, why did I suggest this? Now, made on a budget of $10 million, this is probably a good representation. The film ended up grossing in the US $598,000. Swept Away literally kept away the critics and the film-going audience, and critics pretty much just ravaged this movie, criticised it, beyond all, repair. It was actually a remake of a classic Italian film from 1974, a film which had been given so many great reviews in the past, to which, the makers saw this remake and were like, oh, what have you done to our film? And the interesting link being that Adriano Gianni, who plays, I suppose, Madonna's co-star, I suppose you could say, his dad actually played the same role in the original film. So it's interesting that they've got that connection. Honestly, that is where the connections and any kind of interestingness about the film ends. So, Trevor, thoughts about Swept... Well, actually, no, we need to launch in with some of our turkey trivia. I've given a bit of a budget breakdown, but are there people out there that think the same?
Yeah.
Or people that praise it.
I'm not too sure if there's too many out there, but obviously you mentioned that budget, and I think when you compare the US gross, it didn't really do that much better worldwide. I think the worldwide figures only added about an extra $50,000 to that total gross. But yeah, I mean, it's rated 3.6 on IMDb, which I found surprising. After watching it, I would have sworn it would be lower.
Oh, definitely. I'm surprised it's even got that, because especially some of the other turkeys we've seen that have been much better that have scored much lower. So that is quite interesting. Maybe Madonna fans are voting.
somebody is. I think we've covered the turkey about this turkey, haven't we? We probably should get some trivia. What have you found trivia-wise for us, Christian?
Well, really interesting. I love the, you know, I did love the fact that it almost got there. I think in anyone else's hands, this film, or maybe not in anyone else's hands. I think with a better script, this film would have worked much better. But I do love the fact that they've given it that Italian feel throughout. You know, it was actually filmed in Sardinia and Malta, and the whole soundtrack, you know, not a Madonna song in sight, which I was quite surprised about. And it was, I think it actually worked quite well because it had that real Italian soundtrack and was kind of setting up that real, that feel. Like it was quite beautiful to look at, so I loved that. You know, it was sort of following it on from its lineage. That's pretty much where it ends. I was surprised to see Elizabeth Banks, a really young Elizabeth Banks, amongst the crowd. I don't know if she had been a stock player or a regular with Guy Ritchie, but yeah, at first I'm like, I know her. So actually, she kind of felt like a familiar face, that kind of that something to kind of link me, you know, to get me through the madness that I was watching unfold in front of me. You know, I'm actually a huge Madonna fan. You know, a couple of hours ago, I polled a few Madonna fans on a few groups that I'm on, and just sort of asked what their thoughts on Swept Away were. You know, and most people said, "Oh, you know, honestly, terrible. Do not mention it." But I actually feel that she actually, I think, I couldn't think of a husband slash director filming someone in a worse light. You know, what a terrible way to shoot your wife. She almost has this orange glow about her the entire time, and I think it must have been because she doesn't have sunglasses too in the later scenes. You know, she's always got this awful kind of squint and scrunched up face that doesn't really look very good. And as I said, being a fan, you look at her now and she actually looks 10 years younger than she did back then, not the other way around. So I don't think it really worked very well in Madonna's favour.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, I mean, we'll get into, I suppose, the reason why later, but I'm kind of wondering what Madonna and Guy Ritchie's relationship might have been like at the time of filming. A bit of trivia I found was that Guy Ritchie was actually asked why he cast Madonna in this movie, and he basically said that she was cheap and available.
Oh, God. And the thing is, he probably, knowing what I've seen of him in interviews, he probably would have happily said that to her face too. But then you do wonder, you know, like, you know, to sort of lead in, you know, the plot being about, a socialite, or, you know, the wife of a millionaire who, you know, who gets shipwrecked with the one of the crew. But you do wonder if Guy Ritchie was also seeing a lot of Madonna in the character as well. It was almost like, you know, I don't know. Was it a real tongue-in-cheek take? Was Madonna reading the script going, I've been known as a bitch in the past. Let's play on this. It was really, really hard to sort of understand, or whether the joke was really on Madonna when she finally saw the finished product.
Yeah, well, I think before we get into the movie itself, we probably should start, I guess, at the lowest end of the spectrum. I've done a bit of digging, and I've got a review here that I think maybe encapsulates what a lot of people think of this movie. The title for this review is "Need a Zero Star." Try as I might to like this movie, I could not. I remember at the premiere in London, how Guy Ritchie commented that it was an awful movie. Well, I'm sorry to say, I must agree. I like Madonna, and a co-star is a beautiful man, but the performances here lack spark, truth, passion, everything. And that was one star.
Well, I think that summed up quite a lot of what I'd probably share about the film, and it's that lack of chemistry, and which is so important, especially in a film that essentially is a love story. It's kind of got this irony about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really didn't know where this movie was trying to aim for. I mean, it's categorized as a romantic comedy, but I find very little romance or comedy in pretty much anything that happens in this movie.
And I think, like, you summed it up there with the whole, you know, it didn't really know what it wanted to be. Like, I got a note here about, in sort of in the first 5 to 10 minutes, there was a couple of sections where, you know, Madonna, or the character, I think her name's Amber, was demanding, you know, where's the gym on the boat? And he comes out with an exercise bike. And there's a scene where he goes into the crew member goes into the kitchen and sort of does a flashback and sort of, you know, sort of goes back on what the story was all about. And I thought, oh, this is quite interesting. Is the film going to be filmed kind of in this way? But how easily they let me down when that was only probably the only arty, creative thing he did in the entire film with it. But yeah, I really thought it was going to go somewhere kind of, I thought they were trying to capture that European filmmaker style, but how wrong I was.
Yeah, I mean, I found that even at the start of it, because, I mean, it happens so quick, but at the start when they're doing, like, the pan across and they're flashing to all the rich people having the party, and there's this really, really good, like, jazzy number playing over the top of it, you know, that itself was just, like, this is a very jazzy start. I like this opening, but it lasted for like a minute, and then once you quickly went into the fact that pretty much all these rich people were, shall we say, unpleasant and not likable in any way whatsoever.
And I think it's something that they just try and they throw that message in as much as they can, anything they can to show the whole rich versus the poor, you know, especially with the sort of dynamics between them and the crew, Peppy or Pee-Pee or whatever he calls, whatever she calls the guy that she eventually becomes shipwrecked with. But I think, as I say, you know, yeah, they're really hitting home that whole thing about, the rich versus the poor. But as I say, like, it's funny how even Madonna's character, she's almost like so rich that she's stupid, you know, like comes out with these just like dialogue, like, you know, he walks past with a fish and she goes, when you put that reptile down, please come back and see to us or something like that. And you're just kind of, you're cringing, especially when Madonna isn't, you know, and she's even admitted it, not a very good actress, you know, these sort of lines would crumble with a good actress, let alone a bad one. So, yeah, so the script, you know, as I said earlier, you know, it doesn't help when you're basing this entire thing off of, you know, essentially a very laughable script to start with. So, and the dialogue did just get, you know, got worse and, you know, would have suffered under anyone, I believe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any chemistry between any people in this movie at all. The only ones I can think that actually seem to gel were the two cooks who basically laugh at Giuseppe's recountings of what's going on above deck. They're like the only two people in the movie actually having fun, and the chefs compliment each other because they're just there laughing at everybody else.
Yeah, but they're kind of like they're going the kind of the jokes on, you know, the joke's on the rich people, really, you know, with us poor people. Maybe it's a statement about the movie. Us people will have our way in the end. I don't know. But yes. It was, but it was quite, you know, strange. I've kind of got a note here about how, you know, they really wanted to make, you know, like she was just, I don't know, it was just so hard. I don't know if it was her acting or the badly written character. But there's even a line where they're at the dinner table, like she's spent the last 20 minutes, you know, pretty much slagging him off. And then the husband says something, and then Madonna's character says, "Leave him alone, let him get on with his job." And I was scratching my head going, that does not fit in with anything else. I don't know if it was them trying to show a kind of a more of a vulnerable or a nice side to the character, but it just did not work at all for me. You know, I suppose the earlier scenes to me, pretty much all I can think of is Madonna on the boat yelling, "Anthony!" seemed to happen quite a lot.
Yeah.
She was really, really hitting home the spoiled rich wife, I suppose.
Pretty much. I think, yeah, they try to throw in a couple of things to kind of show that under this brusque, rude exterior, that Amber, Madonna, whatever, you know, actually didn't mind this poor crew member that she kept victimizing. I mean, there was that moment where, you know, she stepped up to say, "Oh, leave him alone, let him do his job." There was another moment they're having a party and she encounters him when she's a bit tipsy in the hallway and starts flirting with him and asks him to dance. But they're like so separate and like there's nothing leading into them or nothing after them. They're just like these little isolated moments. They're pretty much the only two I can think of. I think there's occasional things where you can see he catches Madonna staring at him. But when Madonna's staring at him, she kind of looks constipated rather than longing.
Yeah, but always this forced look on her face, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
But essentially, like I was thinking about at the end, you know, Peppy is really kind of the only character that sort of essentially has sort of a heart, you know, kind of, there's that speech on the boat that he gives when they're at the dinner table about, you know, the whole rich versus the poor. I keep bringing that up again, don't I? And it kind of made you go, yeah, I see a lot of that, you know, to which they probably shut him down with some snobby comment. But that was kind of, he seemed to be the only one that kind of, you know, had a bit of heart with it and was a character that kind of had somewhat of a development. It's just a shame it wasn't a development within a relationship with somebody else because, yeah, as you said, there was no chemistry between anybody, you know. And I think that, you know, we know Madonna to have been a bitch over the years, you know. We know what she can, you know, can be like. She can be very sharp wit and she can snap and things like that. And it's almost like Guy Ritchie almost needed to say to her, don't act, just kind of go about your normal. I don't know. It was almost she was trying to play the bitch too hard and as a result it came across very wooden and essentially try hard.
Very much, very much. But then, like you mentioned, Giuseppe, Peppy, I won't try to say his actual name because I probably won't pronounce it correctly. But yeah, like in the first 30, 40 minutes, it doesn't take too long before they're actually swept away, because they end up stranded on an island together. And you do feel, you actually do find yourself liking this guy, and just probably because he's the only character that gets to act human in amongst all these obnoxious rich people and all these Mediterranean stereotypes who populate the cast of this boat that's going for a cruise. But then I did find that very quickly after they get swept away and Amber and Giuseppe end up trapped on this deserted island, it did not take me very long at all to start disliking Giuseppe once the scenario changed. I could see what the aim was. I could see the point they were trying to make, but they just took it so far the other way, and just made him so, you know, you couldn't sympathise with him anymore because he was just being absolutely brutal. I felt like I needed a shower after watching some of these scenes because they were just they were just awful. And I realise it's meant to be the reversal, you know. At first you feel sorry for him, and then in the face of Madonna's cruelty, but then, you know, when the scale switches the other way, so he tries to reverse that, it goes way too far.
That's the thing, you know, it starts essentially with him sort of on the island with, you know, sort of every time she says something, he's like, make sure you say, say master. So, you know, they hit that home, you know, bloody for 20 minutes or more, sort of milking that. And yeah, as you said, you were starting to really dislike him. But then at one particular point, and I'm sure this probably would have been a point for you, Trevor, at one particular point, it just completely turned and it really took it into an angle of almost, obvious sexism. And yeah, essentially when he essentially attempts to rape her. And when it gets to this, this section to me really took it to a place that I didn't think it was going to go. And really, I don't know if that's a lot of what you're saying, the shower kind of part, wanting to have a shower afterwards, but this really, after all the stuff she put him through, he never did anything to sort of, against his sexuality or against his gender or, it really hit home with me, actually.
Yeah, he basically completely debases her in every way, and it pretty much does end in a scene that stops just a breath away from being a full-on rape scene. Even in the lead-up to that, probably I'll try to... But even in the middle of that, this movie still couldn't decide where it was going to go. The section where they're at the campfire and he demands that Madonna, or Amber, sing and dance for him, and that started up. I just went, oh, okay. Wouldn't it be funny if this turned into like a full song and dance number? And then suddenly he starts hallucinating her singing and dancing in front of a big band in this, again, this very jazzy tune, which is very different to the Mediterranean music that's been playing through the bulk of the movie.
Well, I've spoken to a lot of people over the years too who have actually said that, you know, she performs kind of a lip sync routine to Come Up in My House, you know, and probably, you know, I suppose if you want to look at it, it's probably the best part of the entire movie, or, you know, especially if you're thinking of Madonna, the pop star, you know, and it's funny she's not even miming to like a Madonna song or something too. So it is really interesting, but yeah, it's a song. It's almost like that. It's almost like guys going, how can I flesh out these people on an island? That's right. My wife's one of the highest selling female artists of all time. Let's get her to do something except sing. But anyway, I don't know what the thought processes there were.
Yeah, it would be. It would have been like a highlight for the movie if it just wasn't so bizarrely placed in the middle of this terrible extended sequence of full-on abuse.
It was almost like I might be getting it wrong, but I think from memory it went from the hallucination section straight into this intensity. It was almost like it just changed so quickly, especially when you just come out of hearing this routine or seeing this song and thinking, oh cool, there might be something good happening. How wrong we were.
You know,
but going back to the music, you know, we mentioned the music. To me, there just seemed to be so many music montages in this, or probably not a huge amount, but there was any excuse to let's just do 2 minutes of them doing charades or whatever they were doing. You know, well, let's do 2 minutes of them, you know, pretending to actually fall in love this time for real, you know. And it was just kind of like what I said before, guy was doing anything. How can I make this movie run more than 10 minutes? Mm. I've got to add as many things in as possible for these couples to do. So let's have some montages.
Yeah, that's just it. It was sort of like, and that's what I was saying before. I mean, make me wonder what the state of Guy Ritchie and Madonna's relationship was at the time, considering just how, how awful Madonna's character is at the beginning, and then how awfully she is treated in the course of this movie. And then you've got the musical sections. There are times where it's like, hang on, did you want this to be like a musical romance in that style of like a, the more flamboyant, musical romantic ones? I mean, there's even a section where, after the lowest point in the entire movie, where she comes back and they seem to both, the only thing I can equate it to is they both start suffering from Stockholm syndrome. Because I can see no other reason why they would go from this terrible relationship with each other to actually being together. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Then it has them sort of like cuddling in front of a tree to, I think it was Mazzy Star, which was a very, like, completely different again to every other piece of music that was in this movie. And it does the whole lifts them up into the air with the background sort of like disappearing behind them in that romantic musical style. Oh, I'm going, what is this thing doing? I don't know what they're doing.
Maybe the producers of Mamma Mia were quite inspired when they made the movie version. Kind of feels like it was trying to do that. But then when they do, you know, you've got so many cliches with, you know, for me, you know, the whole being stuck on a desert island thing has been done so much to death, and they've done, you know, you've got the whole cliche of, I don't know if this is essentially a cliche, but almost, you know, they see, Madonna's character sees a boat in the distance, and she doesn't let him know because she's like, oh, I love this so much, I don't want to leave. And you do think to yourself, even though you're a bitch and it doesn't seem like you essentially liked your rich lifestyle, why would you want to stay on an island where this guy is doing these things to you? It was really quite a strange thing, considering there wasn't that much of a passing between that happening and her falling in love.
I think that happened just after. I mean, I think, I suppose if you look at the progression of this movie, because it's not a very long movie, which is something I'm very thankful for.
I was too.
I think it only comes in like about 90 odd minutes. It's very short, but it's like rich people go on a holiday. They want to do something different, so they end up chartering a boat through the Mediterranean. Madonna is queen bitch of bitch town and is terrible to this crew member. It gets to the point where Madonna demands that this crew member take her out from the boat to check out some caves, even though he's warned her that, hey, that it's getting late, the tide's bad, there's going to be a storm, you can see exactly what's going to happen. They get to the island where the crew member can start being the dominant person, and he proceeds to abuse, debase, and almost rape her. The very next scene, she comes back to him and starts kissing him all over. It's meant to be the following morning, and that's when I thought it was like, Stockholm syndrome. That's the only thing I can find that justifies these two people being together. I know it's a movie. I know it's a remake of an Italian classic, but like I said, and especially once they do get rescued and they get back and the way they just mope and just. Are so aimless. It's like, yeah, they're suffering from Stockholm syndrome and they can't work out how to get over it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you've got, I remember even noticing, you know, one of the parts in the opening, you had this really depressing music and it was almost spelling out the fate of the film, you know, and kind of the ending. And then that kind of depressing music comes back in again. And it all, yeah, the last sort of felt like more than this, but more like last sort of 10 or 15 minutes was, you know, a lot of tears, a lot of, yeah, moping around, a lot of hardly saying anything and kicking bags and all sorts of stuff. And it really, you know, and hey, I know we have a spoiler alert, so yeah, hey, it doesn't have a happy ending, which probably could have been one of the things that went against it. But yeah, essentially it could have ended with possibly them getting picked up by the boat or something like that. And they get picked up by, or they see a boat, and then you're in this next scene where she's talking about how she was looked after well, but the way it was cut together was almost like, should there have been something in between that, or was this scene not supposed to be, it was just a really strange ending. It almost needed to have just sort of ended with them being picked up by the boat, or, hey, not being filmed at all.
Well, I think being an Italian movie originally, they were probably trying to keep some of the sensibilities, because I do know a lot of European cinema, they really, I think they went through a particular stage where they were not big on happy endings at all. But just the way, like, neither of them say a thing. I mean, she's there, she wants to stay. Why the hell could she just not say to her husband, no, I'm not going with you, I want to stay here? This guy pretty much gave in to any demand she had, so I can't imagine him fighting back if she says she wants to stay in the Mediterranean.
Oh, yeah, but then I'm so confused, because to me, I'm like, the main message of the movie is the same, you know, pretty much she pretty much hated her rich existence, and Pepe was the guy that pretty much took her away from that, which, you know, I was thinking was, you know, okay, that's the main message of the movie, but he's essentially taking her to a place where he's gonna essentially possibly abuse her again. I don't know, you're just so torn with where this movie wanted to go with its finale. Should she have ended up with him? But hey, he could do this again. Or is she going to stay with his husband where she'll just go on another boat cruise and be miserable and use an exercise bike? I don't know. It just really left so many things up in the air. God, I hope it didn't leave it open for a sequel.
I don't think it did, obviously. but yeah, I mean, that ending, it was. I don't know if it was more depressing because they didn't end up being together, or just how wishy-washy they were both being by the end. I mean, these were both characters that showed very strong characterization, even though that characterization was just of ugly, ugly people with terrible personalities who just will casually abuse other people out of their own self-interest. So I guess in a way they may have been perfect for each other, if you look at it that way. But at the end of it, they were just mopey, wishy-washy, and neither of them could step up and actually do anything positive. Even when Giuseppe came in and he puts a note in there for Madonna to find in the morning, telling her where she needs to go in order to run away together. It's like, why not just be there in the morning and just, oh, come with me, let's go back to the island or something.
And it could have been this grand finale or something like that, but instead it was all lots of notes, lots of people not talking to each other and just assuming, and planes, I mean, sorry, helicopters disappearing with nothing ever said.
No, and the very pretty ring he bought for her, he throws at the helicopter in a final act of defiance, which does nothing.
And just to stick the knife in even more, the ring floating to the bottom of the ocean floor replays over the end credits.
Yeah, I tell you what though, seeing that ring floating to the bottom of the floor of the end credits, I was waiting for my heart to go on to start up.
Trevor, it was one of those moments where I wished it was Titanic we were watching. But oh gosh, yeah, no, it's I was not swept away with it. Hey, we were saying at the end that it was quite morbid. Hey, if they were to know the fate of this film, I couldn't think of anything more perfect, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this movie could do with being sunk to the bottom of the ocean, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. We probably should move on to the redeeming features part of the podcast.
The part which I actually am struggling to find many things to state.
Yeah, well, you picked the movie, so I guess I'll go first this time around. And, I mean, really, even though it was all over the place and the tone swung so wildly, some of the music in there was quite good. I mean, I do have a... there seems to be a theme, actually, lately. Of I think if the main good thing you can find is a couple of the songs in there. But there's some quite good big band numbers thrown in there. So I wouldn't recommend grabbing the soundtrack because it ranges from big band to bouzouki very quickly. The only characters I liked, as mentioned before, were the two chefs who were basically just there as scene filler to add a little extra character to the opening montages of the movie as they gradually show what happens between these rich people and these sailors on this boat. Again, what I actually do find amazing and in some strange way impressive is in how the tone and the structure and the approach and the feel of this movie just swings so wildly and never settles down. But it's amazing that even though that's the case, it's just such a dull movie. But really, because it's full of characters that are just despisable and nobody relates to each other, and there's absolutely no chemistry between any people in this movie. I even thought of the section that Giuseppe and the captain were somehow romantically engaged in one very bizarre scene involving some cocaine they found. The captain just gets sent back to his cabin like a scolded schoolboy. But yeah, this movie was just absolutely atrocious, disgusting, and yeah, made me feel like I needed a shower. So I'm pretty happy in saying that it's not redeemable.
Oh, Trevor, I'm glad. I did get the feeling that you did have that feeling, because that is very much like what I was feeling. And you know, the location being so dull in a movie where the location is actually so nice, it's such a beautiful film. How can such a beautiful film have absolutely no soul and no chemistry with it whatsoever? And, you know, as I've mentioned earlier, I think in anyone's hands, whether, you know, if Madonna wasn't involved or Guy Ritchie wasn't involved, I think it still would have failed. It was the script writing. It was the, I don't know, it's made me kind of want to see the original 74 film, because if it's apparently a classic, how have they managed to, I don't know, how has it rised above the sort of the doggy do that the new film is? So, you know, whether it's a totally different script or whether it's been rejigged, but it has, you know, that's one good thing this movie has done, is made me want to see the original. But possibly, you know, the very rare case, I'd say that Guy Ritchie at least tried to keep, at least gave it that European film, whilst it was, you know, a feel. So whilst it was filmed in you know, essentially parts of Europe and things like that, it still, you know, felt a lot like a European film, which was, you know, very much a homage to the original. And having Adriano Gianni play Pepe, who was the son of the original father, the guy in the original. So that was, you know, that was one, probably one of only two things to redeem it. And hey, possibly if you hate Madonna, if you're a person that hates Madonna, I'd probably recommend seeing it just to see her having an octopus thrown in her face. That's probably the only thing in that respect. But don't go in expecting to see good acting from the pop star or even any songs from the pop star. I think she was actually, this is probably one of the in some respects, the wisest thing she ever did was not lend any songs to the soundtrack. It would have made the, as you said, the big band and the Italian music and a Madonna song, I think, as a combination on the soundtrack, it would have been quite bizarre. So I think it would be easy to say that, you know, whilst there's time, any couple of things that you go, it's got a kind of bit of an appeal, especially with the location, Madonna being in it, and, you know, I suppose the directing talents of Guy Ritchie. Do not be led astray. This film is not redeemable. I repeat, not redeemable. I do not find any redeeming qualities in this except for as a bad movie night.
Yeah. I actually do find myself wondering what, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try to say the name. Adriano Gianni's father, Giancarlo Gianni, being that original, he played that role in the original movie. I just wonder what his father thought after seeing what happened to the movie that he was in that had received so much praise. You'll put shame to your family!
Well, I did hear, I don't know, I think it might have been the actress that was in the original film, stormed out of the premiere going, what have you done to my film? But I suppose seeing Madonna playing your role so badly, I could understand why, so.
Mm-hmm. And just to touch on what you said before, I mean, yep, okay, fine, an octopus thrown in Madonna's face. I think if you don't like Madonna, that's great, but frankly, if you have any respect for anybody, what happens to the Madonna in this movie is is there's nothing that anyone could appreciate. I don't care how much you dislike Madonna. If you find joy in what happens to her, you're sick.
It takes the film, a film that you think is going to take one path, takes a totally different path, and you could just never recover from it, even though it is a film by that stage that has many things that have gone wrong with it.
Indeed. But guess what? There's somebody out there that likes this movie.
Oh, what? Okay, wow. We should name and shame.
I won't name, but we'll see if shame is appropriate for this review, shall we?
Let's go.
Title: This movie is awesome, nothing wrong with it. It's like some kind of weird conspiracy where somebody powerful in Hollywood got mad at somebody involved with this movie and decided to destroy his reputation. It's like every critic was bribed to give it bad reviews. This movie is awesome. The acting is as good as any movie out there. The story is awesome. I love how the tide turns once Madonna's character is no longer rich anymore and needs help to survive. There is nothing bad to say about this movie. It just shows how many people there are in the world that have lost their minds. Namely the ones that attack this movie and give it one star. Everything in this movie works. There are no plot holes or anything. And it's awesome watching the rich, mean lady get tamed and humbled. It's really definitely worth watching. To give this movie one star is about as nuts as giving Star Wars one star as well. It may not have all the special effects of Star Wars, but it's got a beautiful island that's nice to look at too. 5 stars!
Well, she summed it up in a nutshell. Yeah, it has an island that's nice to look at. That's where it ends. I think, you know, the whole statement about Madonna, you know, her character gets tamed. Yeah, I think you're one of those sick people, this reviewer, I mean. So, yeah, I don't agree with anything that was said in that review at all.
No, this is a resounding irredeemable. Yeah, let's move on from this unpleasantness before I need to go have another shower, okay?
Agreed. I think, Trevor, it's time to possibly look at what the next redeeming features film would be. Now, I think we needed something almost to wash swept away off us.
Sweep it away.
Exactly. So, look, you know, we've gone a bit of a trend recently, and sort of, I suppose, I blame myself, you know, a bit of a pop star turned actress sort of trend with Glitter and then Swept Away. And I suppose, essentially, I didn't really mean to do this again, but I've also got another a female pop star, or female and male pop star turned actor and actress for one particular film. Now, I've decided for this particular one to go back to a movie musical adaptation. It's been a while since we've done a musical. We know that Swept Away attempted to be one, but this is actually a legitimate one. So we're going back to 1978. This film is actually, I don't know what the figures are in recent years, but has been regarded as one of the most expensive movie musicals of all time. It cost over $180 million, was filmed throughout New York City, and actually features some quite interesting shots of the World Trade Center prior to the September 11, and so quite some interesting use of the location there. It did star a singer who was quite well known for being a Supreme, and a gentleman who's quite well known for being a member of the Jackson 5. And it was an adaptation of essentially a blaxploitation musical. We're looking at the 1978 disaster musical of The Wiz.
Oh, my God.
Now, Trev, have you seen The Wiz before?
I have managed to avoid it many, many times over.
Now, it's one of those films I want us to question with our redeeming features next time. Is, you know, well, essentially, is it redeemable? But, you know, it was one of those films that was so burdened by being over budget and so many things going wrong in production. And in hindsight, that kind of bogged down, essentially, you know, this movie musical that was supposed to be this great spectacle and eventually ended up not being. So I really want to know, is this actually a bad movie, or was it just something that was plagued by, I don't know, wrong place, wrong time, or too much of a big budget? So let's revisit The Wiz. I have seen it quite a lot of times. And for those who don't know, it is the African-American musical adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. It was a 1975 Broadway stage musical, and it was adapted with Diana Ross Michael Jackson, Nipsey Russell, who else is in it? Richard Pryor, many other big names are in it too, but it never quite reached the success and managed to recoup its whatever, $120, $150 million. So, Trevor, I will be interested to see if The Wiz is redeemable or if it is just a whole heap of 1978 trash.
I look forward to finding out. I'm thinking we've got to be due to get one that actually has enough to be redeemable soon, surely.
Look, I'm going in this. Look, most of the films I haven't seen before, I'm going in this with the angle of having seen it quite a few times, but it is still one of those films that you do look at and go, okay. So I think that's the reason we have the redeeming features, to be able to express the thoughts we have whilst watching films like that. So,
I have just noticed here, it's rated 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, so that's quite high for a redeeming features movie.
And it has some great songs and great set pieces, and hey, I won't spoil too much more, but I'm really interested in revisiting it because it has been about 5 years since I've seen it.
Fantastic. Well, yep, definitely. I will check out The Wiz and certainly let you know what I think.
I look forward to chatting with you and taking a trip down the quite dubious Yellow Brick Road.
In New York, sure. Look, if anybody out there has any comments, do you think we were too harsh on Swept Away? Do you have some redeeming features you think we may have missed for that movie? Or do you have more issues as to why it is a atrocity that should never be shown to anyone ever again? Do you have some comments on The Wiz? You can also let us know about that. It's really, really, really easy. You can find The Rufus Project on Twitter or Facebook. You can head to therufusproject.podomatic.com and leave comments below this very podcast. I probably will mention now, if you are catching up on the podcast, I'm going to be archiving some of the older podcasts very, very soon. But if you keep an eye on Twitter and Facebook, I will let you know where they're going to be made available. I'm still sorting that out. If you don't want your opinions to be public, you can also send us an email to therufusproject@gmail.com. I think I covered that all over. Oh, and make sure you listen next week to the Rufus Project podcast, where we do all our geek pop culture and fun stuff.
Sounds like it's going to be great, Trevor. I can't wait.
Cool. Well, Christian, I don't know if I want to thank you for getting me to watch Swept Away, but definitely thank you for another great redeeming features.
Yeah, for sure. Even if it might be a film that you could barely say two words about, we managed to change all that here on the redeeming features. So, hey, and as you said, if there's anyone who's got any films that they can suggest, I definitely recommend getting in touch with us because, hey, there may even be some disaster ones we haven't even thought of. So look forward to hearing from people.
Fantastic. Thank you, Christian.
Thanks, Trevor.
Boy, oh boy.
Is it too good to be bad? So bad it's good. What's this movie? Do you think we should? Got bad dialogue, dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Boy, oh boy.
Christian and Trevor on the case, watching movies from all over the place. IMDb says it's bad, but we want to know, is it fun to be had?
Boy, oh boy.
Redeeming features.